Welcome to the Doubled Up Podcast.
Welcome to the Doubled Up Podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Doubled Up Podcast, the weekly podcast talking all things trainers, sneakers, kicks, creps, whatever you call them, wherever you are in the world. I'm Matt, and with me, as he is every single week, is Scott. Scott, how you doing, mate?
Not bad. Very tired. Long week.
I feel like 90% of these episodes start with you going, not bad, tired, but not
tired.
Bad.
Yeah. Well, this week I've been in Manchester all week on a big international conference, and it's been very long days, leaving at like, what, I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning the one day to get there, and then back at like 10:30 last night. It's absolutely freezing up north. And the whole time I was there, I was restrained by my colleagues from actually going into any shops to buy anything. The whole time they were like, oh, we'll go and have a look around Manchester, but Scott's not allowed to go anywhere. Brilliant. Fantastic.
You saying that you're going to a big international conference as well makes you sound like Steve Jobs or something, mate. It sounds like you're super important going to an international conference.
I started out as just going and like being there, and then by the end of it, somehow I'd been dragged in to helping put together the main keynote presentation with like 20 other people. And I don't know how it happened. So there is now videos of me kind of, in front of a room of like 500 people doing stuff. And it was a complete accident.
You smashed it
right
though,
place, wrong time. I think so. I did. I don't really
That's
know what happened, to be honest. So
it was all a blur.
No one said anything. So not expected.
Say anything with confidence and everyone will believe what you're saying. And hey, if no one's kicked up a fuss, you're all right, mate. You're all right.
You say that, I'll take it, because like I was ended up there, but one of my colleagues ended up getting dragged off for an extra day. So she's still in Manchester at the moment because the US Congress decided that they wanted her to like basically have a presentation with her. And it's like,
The US, do you work for like MI5 or something? Like, I thought you, international conference.
Right, I'm everywhere.
US Congress wants my colleague to stay behind. Honestly, Jesus.
Well, but she was like, "What the fuck is going on?" Because she was completely unprepared. So she messaged me earlier, being like, "I don't know what happened. I don't know if it went well. What can you do?
I don't know if I'm allowed in America anymore, but we'll see." All right. Anyway, Scott, we don't need to talk about your busy week too much, especially seeing as you're clearly. Somehow in with like secret MI5 secret service or something, and we don't want to blow your cover too much. So what we will do though is we'll introduce our guests for this week, because Scott, hey, it's been a little while, but we have a guest. Who would have thought it? And today's guest has been brewing up something special within the sneaker community. He has been busy hosting events and creating a buzz on social media. We've been quite excited to get this guest on the podcast, and we think you guys will like this episode a latte. Our guest as at Kicks and Coffee on Instagram. We know him as Joe. Joe, welcome to the podcast, mate.
How you doing, guys? How's everything?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. I mean, Scott's clearly not happy. You guys
terrible.
10 minutes before we started recording, I was there like, shit, I need to come up with as many coffee related puns as I could squeeze into this intro. So I was like, right, there we go. You'll like this episode of latte. That one has to be the final final line. So, hey, to be fair, we end every episode with a dad joke, Scott. So our listeners are used to this type of shit comedy from us. If I can even talk today, Jesus. But no, Joe, honestly, thank you so much for joining us. We've got a lot to talk about with you this week, but... The first thing we ask every single guest is we're going to start right at the beginning. We want our listeners to know a little bit about you. So take us back right to the beginning, Joe. Tell us about your earliest sneaker memory, mate.
My earliest sneaker memory, it would have been, there's two. So the original Adidas Yeezy Beluga drop, it was on Foot Locker, and I was sitting downstairs in the kitchen with my brother, just waiting, and then you had this is before I think Capaccia came in, so it was just the spinning wheel of death trying to add it to your basket. This was about 3 or 4 hours in the making and did not hit. So that's probably one of my fondest one. And then I was again in school science class, and then the Off-White collab kind of happened trying to reach all of them, and my mate was very fortunate enough and got two. He got the OG Jordans and then the Air Max 90s, hit two raffles. Ooh, from
what, in science class?
Yeah, obviously it was like he registered it and then it came through on the day and I was like, nah, no way you hit. And I didn't get anything. The amount of shops that had them and raffles, yeah. So they're my two earliest memories.
Right, I'm a little bit sad for you that your two earliest sneaker memories are you taking two L's. But I mean, also, yeah, in that time of sneaker history, I'm also not surprised.
Yeah, it was a very competitive time, I must say so myself. But yeah. But here I am, still at the other end, still obsessed. So, you know.
Hey, that's all that matters, right? It's these early sneaker memories that sort of start it all, and it's how it carries on afterwards that really matters. I mean, talking about carrying on after those sort of initial L's back in science class, how's your sort of sneaker history been evolving since then? Obviously, you said that sort of sparked everything for you. I mean, after those sort of initial memories, sort of how did your sneaker collecting evolve from there?
I think slowly. I think my first like big shoe was an Adidas Yeezy Copper. I think I paid resale, and this was a worn pair, but like virtually DS, like you could lick the sole bottom. Yeah, £300 back in the day. Right, and then I've toasted them. They like got rips in them, everything. Like I've worn them into the ground. So then it's kind of progressively got bigger. And then I think my first ever major raffles, the Travis 1 Mocha as well from Osprey.
Hey.
That's my first like big hit. And I think that's kind of where like my love kind of stemmed from as well. So linking it back into that. So yeah, it's growing, I must admit. So
was it the Travis High, the OG one?
Yeah, Travis High, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you said the Mocha. I thought you meant the Mocha Low then. I was like, oh, okay. But no,
there's so many different Mochas, honestly. There's reverse Mocha, like
upside down Mocha, back to front Mocha. Yeah. Throwing Mocha into everything.
So weirdly, I was, did you go to the Super Saturday then? So weirdly, I probably saw you in the queue at some point then and never knew.
To be fair, do you remember when they shut the queue off? People would like travel down to I ended up bumping into these two geezers from Liverpool. I traveled down for like 45 minutes, but by the time I got there, they're like, oh yeah, sorry, we're not, you're going to have to come back tomorrow. So I ended up bumping into these two people from Liverpool. I was like, oh, do you mind giving me your train ticket so I can show them to them and like skip the queue? Ended up doing that. I was like, look, I'm from Liverpool with no Scouse accent whatsoever. I was like, I'm from Liverpool, let me in. They're like, yeah, cool, whatever. And yeah, just skip the whole queue.
I was in that queue for about 6 hours, I think, that day. I got there early, and that wasn't early enough because obviously you had the Sakai drop as well that was going on. That was, it was a cool day, and obviously they were giving out free stuff and all that. But yeah, that was a long, long day.
Yeah, I rocked up within half an hour and skipped the queue.
Jammy bastard.
You should have said you're from Liverpool, mate. You missed a trick there. You missed a trick.
Well, yeah, with the London accent. Yeah, I'll do that next time.
Mate, I think they were so past the point. Okay, yeah, whatever. Just go, like, you know.
Yeah, they were done. I think there was a power cut or something, like, partway through the day, like, in Selfridges. So the tills went down. So they just, that's why it was taking so long. And I think I feel bad for the workers because they were getting harassed by everybody. Like, why is it taking so long with this? And, yeah, by the time you got there.
What did you hit? Was it Sakai or the Travis?
Travis. Yeah, again, my first kind of big height hit. I remember when I got the DM through and was like, what is going on? Like, no way this is happening. And yeah, it was cool. I met a lot of very cool people, but yeah, it was a long, long day.
Yeah. But so the old days, eh?
Not anymore. It won't happen now. Not back in our day. You guys sounded like old men. I'm the oldest one here. But you said there, you've mentioned some quite hyped releases. Obviously, you've mentioned a couple of pairs of Adidas Yeezy, some of the earlier drops as well. Obviously, trying to go for the off-whites, first big win being the Travis. How would you describe your sneaker taste? Would you say that you're more into the hype stuff, or has it varied a little bit more now you've been into it a little bit longer? Like, talk to us a little bit about what you look for in something you'd like to add to the collection.
I think it fluctuates, really, to be honest. I think in my early years, I was like, oh, I need the hype. I need I need the Travis, you know, I need the Kanye West, like Yeezys and stuff like that. Whereas now it kind of, it's more versatile now. I'll look at a shoe and go, I actually love that. Like, I'm very happy to walk into, you know, an Offspring or Football Child and just pick up, you know, Jordan 1 Low. I really like Jordan 1 Lows at the moment as well. So even like a bread toe, you know, I think I retail pickup. So, you know, it's not, I think for me, it's not all about the hype. I think very much nowadays is about what you wear with it as well, I think is very important. So yeah, it fluctuates. One day I could be like, oh, I want to wear my Off-Whites or a pair of Vans the next day. So, you know, comfort over style. So sometimes.
I think it's evolved a lot as well. I think, like, obviously Instagram, social media, TikTok, et cetera, has like really had a big thing where back at sort of a few years ago, all of the big sort of Instagram pages were all of the sneaker reviewers. And now it's sort of like, I'm seeing less sneaker reviews online now. And what I'm seeing instead is like, get ready with me's. Like, I'm seeing sort of like people like picking an outfit and then picking a sneaker to complement the outfit. Or so it has evolved a lot where nowadays I think people are a little bit more open to your GRs or sort of the less hype stuff, because before it would just be plain outfit, Off-White trainers, right?
100%.
And obviously people still do that, but nowadays it's more about building the whole ensemble and like going out with a fit rather than just a cool pair of shoes.
It's so influential though, like the get ready with me's, because you'll look at that on TikTok and go, oh my god, I really want those shoes now, and then you end up buying them. It's that powerful. And brands are quite smart with it now. They're like, okay, they'll spend X amount of money. Yeah, cool. You go and make us a video, and then they'll probably make so much money off it, like, because they now want that. It's the demand is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and all the sort of the copycat side of it as well. Like I say, if someone does a get ready with me with a particular pair of jeans or a particular shirt that goes alongside the shoes, you then want to buy those exact jeans, or even another brand makes sort of a copycat version. And there's so many, like I said, so many different social media platforms that are trying to find these alternatives to what's
niche.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's changed a lot, even since we've been doing this podcast. Like right at the beginning of this podcast, a lot of it was sneaker reviews and early releases and things like this. And yeah, there are still people that do that, but it's broadened out a lot more to just the fashion trend in general rather than specifically sneakers.
I wonder, like before when we got people on, and I know sometimes we'd ask, like, when you go out, like, what do you start with? Do you go like sneakers first and then like build your way up? Or do you go like, you know, outfit and then sneakers? I reckon now it's probably more like, say, the outfit shoes rather than the other way around. Like I say, the amount of people that will basically put on to be fair, maybe not anymore, but put on like a whole outfit and then it's like white Sambas, sorted, done.
It's that easy now.
I mean, not anymore, but.
we're not letting Rishi kill the Sambas. Like, hey, I'm not a fan of Rishi by any means, but at the same time, like, I love a Samba too much for him to fuck it up for me.
It was the most staged picture I've ever seen in my life. It was awful.
His PR campaign manager was like, right, I think we need to influence the younger generation. They're wearing these Sambas. Why don't you wear a pair of those on an interview? And honestly, it looked so staged. But everyone's selling their Sambas.
See, that was hilarious. Again, that was outfit first and then the shoes. That wasn't shoes and then outfit. You can tell.
But you started saying, Joe, there about sort of you getting the original sort of Travis sort of started sparking that sort of appreciation for coffee as well. I mean, one of the things that's obviously, we'll talk about the events in just a minute, but a lot of people will know you on Instagram through, as we said in the intro, Kicks and Coffee, right?
Yeah.
Where did that start creeping in, and when did you come up with the idea of merging it?
I think it was when I recently attended the other sneaker festival. So obviously you got the Sneaker Nurse and Crepe City and stuff like that. And I think I went to both, and I was like, just looking around, I was like, I just feel like something's missing. Like, in my opinion, I think the sneaker industry at the moment is very stagnant. You know, there's not a lot really going on. It's just release after release. You know, everything's down at the moment. Jordan 1s are down. You know, the whole market is down. Again, reiterating my point, you can go back into a shop and buy a GR. It's perfect. So it's like, it's in that in-between phase of like, right, what's going to happen? So I was at the event. I was just like, the community side of it is just missing. You know, that you can't really integrate and interact with one another. You know, you go in, it's hot, stuffy. You look around, you see something, you don't, you go. You know, I thought, how can I kind of integrate? And I thought, coffee's brilliant because, you know, you go have a coffee with your friends and family, have a catch up. You know, you do sit there, you waffle like we're doing now. You're having a chat. And I thought, why not integrate the both together? And it just kind of rolled off my tongue like kicks and coffee. And then here we are nearly a year down the line, a few events and yeah. So
it literally, because you're absolutely right. I think everyone has probably gone to one of these sneak events before, or most people have gone to these sneaker events before. And the first time you go, especially if you go to maybe like a Sneakiness or a Crepe City or something like that, and especially nowadays where there are just, they're trying to cram in as many tables as they possibly can, right? You sort of walk in a little bit like a kid in a candy store. I've never seen so many shoes on tables in my life. And then you're absolutely right. You do a lap, see that maybe everything's a little bit maybe out of your price range, or maybe you don't see anything you like. And what's left is hundreds of people crammed into a space, loud music and MCs to the point where you can't hear each other talk, overpriced food and expensive beer. And what ends up happening is you meet up with your friends, you leave, and then sort of you end up in a nearby area, right? Like you end up somewhere else nearby, just having a social with your mates. So I think you're absolutely right in identifying that actually, if you can feed the community side of it first and almost have the shoes as the supplement, I think that's one of the biggest things that people appreciate. I mean, I went to the Sneakiness not too long ago, the one that was in Shoreditch late last year. And I think I spent a grand total of 5 minutes walking around the shoes, and the rest of it I spent watching the two-on-two basketball games. I was watching people try and beat they had a UK professional basketball player, and you were able to play one-on-one with them. They had Tekken tables set up so that you could play Tekken and stuff like this.
I enjoyed that side of the event, like you've just mentioned, 5 minutes walking, doing a lap, and then you've gone, oh my god, there's so much like interactive stuff. You know, I think that, like, obviously I'm not here to shit on Crepe City Sneakiness,
of course,
you know,
yeah.
They're big games in, you know, the big heads in the game, sorry. But ultimately, you know, it's like, well, what can we do different, you know? But yeah, just to touch on what you just mentioned. But
weirdly, I've been talking to a fair few people today that we've been talking about kind of, they're not as involved in like sneakers and like the community side of things as much anymore. Nearly all of them use the line, I've just taken a step back. And for a lot of people, obviously, like that community side of it and meeting other people was like the main thing for them rather than kind of the products. And there's loads of products at the moment knocking around. But I must say, like, it's interesting. You know, we've been to loads of events, and as Matt said, it is, you do the laps, you kind of go and talk to whatever. But the feedback that we've seen from Kicks and Coffee, especially like the last event, it's been really, really positive in terms of like just what's going on, meeting up with people. It seems to be an event people are quite excited to go to. So like what I don't know, like what do you think at the moment is like the what's making it as it is and why people are liking it so much?
I think it's just refreshing. I think is the one word, and it's very versatile. It's not like your regular event. You know, you may come to our event and go, why the fuck's that there? But why not? You know, again, like you go into a coffee shop and like weird stuff is on the walls and you go, why is that there? But like, it just looks cool. You know, the aesthetic of coffee shops, and it's all different. And I think that's what our event wants to kind of push. You know, it looks rough, but it looks beautiful at the same time. Like, it's open. You have the opportunity to go walk around and then have the opportunity to grab a coffee, sit, chill. And, you know, I think that's where we're really trying to push it. You know, it's not like I'm still learning. I hold my hands up. I've only been doing this a year. So, you know, it's all learning. What can I change? What can I do differently? What can I do better? And I think feedback is important. Like you said, like listening to the community. What do they want? What do they want to see? Like in terms of sellers, vendors, food choices, you know, coffee. Like one of them was iced coffee. We didn't have coffee, iced coffee last time. And I got my head chewed off for it. So I was like, right, okay, I hear
iced
you.
Coffee next time.
Look, Hicks and coffee. You need every coffee.
Yeah, honestly. So yeah, just stuff like that. And I think community outreach has been massive for me, like getting myself out there. I was at the Drop of the Year Awards, just kind of just dropped my name in it. One of the questions was, what's been the best event this year? Sneaking as Crep City, and there was me on the microphone going, kicks and coffee, like, give me the mic. Obviously, I kind of dropped myself in it a little bit, but like, I think it's again, going back to my main point, it's refreshing because, you know, there's a lot of events in America. You've got Soul, Complex Con, you know, they're all doing their little thing. And I thought, why not bring that over here? I know the UK is smaller, but why not? Just run with it, see what happens, I think. So ultimately, take a risk, see what happens.
Well, talking about taking a risk, I think there's a lot of people that go to events and go, I reckon I could do this better. But you have literally decided, I am going to try and do this better. I mean, at what point did you think, like, this is actually a good idea? Because we know people, we've sort of been to, like, the Crep Car Boots and things like this previously, smaller events. And we've spoken to the guys that run those and know that it is a headache to put these things on. People do moan. People do complain. There's a high demand for sort of or a high expectation from people. Like, at what point did you say, I know you've said you sort of thought these events were missing something I think I can accommodate. But at what point did that turn from just an idea and a flippant sort of thought to, fuck it, let's put on an event?
It would have been, I was working at Waitrose at the time. I was doing my delivery drive and I thought, I need to get out of this.
Okay.
Well, so I was like, right, okay, I'm just going to run with it. Like, I've always had that mindset of, like, what if, you know?
Yeah.
And I've recently got taught quite a good life lesson. I was seeing a therapist at the time and they kind of said, you know, you're 70 years from now, you're sitting in a rocking chair. Are you like happy with your life or are you sitting there regretful? And I thought that like really took me back. I was like, oh, okay. So I just kind of rolled my sleeves up and went, fuck it. Go for it. What's the worst that's going to happen? Like ultimately life is full of life choices and making mistakes. And it's what you learn from it. And it just shapes you and makes your character a better person. So I thought, you know what? Even if I do an event, it flops. Who cares? It's all about the next one. Like, are you going to do it again? And then kind of a year down the line, and it's a headache, don't get me wrong, but I think when you're surrounded by like-minded people, and I say this all the time, it really energizes you and fuels you. So yeah, that's kind of...
You've clearly got it, like I say, down to a T, but like the last event before obviously the one that's coming up wasn't that long ago.
Nah.
Like you've really like plowed through it and like put these on quickly.
Again, like when I was speaking to people at the second event, they were like, I need more. Like, I had quite a few vendors. They're like, when's the next one? I'm scratching my head. I'm going, I've just finished this one. Like, oh my God. So obviously I'm scrambling, like making like phone calls and stuff like that to like logistic wise, is it going to work? And then obviously we're doing it the day before Crep City. So it's kind of, it's a risk. I'm going to say that it's a risk, but why not? I said it. I was like, fuck it. It's going to piss some people off. Like some traders might be able to do it. Some might not. But like ultimately, you know, it's another opportunity to make your money. It's another opportunity for people to come, have a coffee, get out of the house, escape the wives, escape the children, buy some shoes. So, you know, it's a win-win.
So basically all the things to piss your other half off.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Spend money on coffee.
That's advertisement for me, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but then that's when you bring a pair of shoes home for them. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, I'll let you off. Fine.
There you go, Scott. Take notes, mate.
Well, yeah, are there any vendors that do baby shoes?
I think there might be actually.
Perfect. In that case, I'm allowed to come.
but we've sort of been dancing around the fact that obviously you've got an upcoming event. For anyone that isn't following Kicks and Coffee, first of all, while you're listening to this podcast, go onto Instagram, follow. But also, the upcoming event you have is Saturday, the 27th of April, which is sort of why we wanted you to come on now, because obviously by the time this episode comes out, it's going to be literally sort of just over a week's time, right? Like anyone listening to this episode, it's going to be from the 15th of April onwards. So sort of within a week and a half, sort of 10 days, the event is going to be happening. What can you, I know you've been releasing sort of information about vendors and things like this. Sort of what are you excited about with this particular event? Why, if someone's listening to this on the fence, why should they be signing up right now for the 27th of April?
I think why not? Like, seriously, I think the movement and, you know, without obviously dropping their names in too much as of yet. You know, we've got some big dog supporting it, and I think that was the most wholesome thing for me, because it's not even been a year yet. And I think, you know, the fact if someone had said to me 6 months ago, oh, so-and-so is coming to support your event, I would look at you and probably go, what? You know? So I think there's a real community push, and like, it's coming and it's evolving. So it's almost like, jump on the train now. It will save you a few years down the line. So it's with anything new, like, again, it's a risk, but it's like, ultimately just support something upcoming. And I think that's our brand ethos and the event itself, you know, Crep City and Sneakiness, it's very regimented. I thought, do you know what, like, if you're an upcoming hustler who's got a unique brand, like a clothing brand, or you're an upcoming reseller just wanting to get your foot in the door, then here it is. You know, here's a platform of like-minded people in one roof. Go speak to people, go network, you know. I'll just say it, the Soul Supplier will be powering the event as well. So you've got a big dog there, Jason Mark, a shoe cleaner. So like, just go speak, you know, come vibe. You know, we've got cleaning workshops on the day as well. So come clean your shoes, have a chat. Honestly, it's just brilliant. You can tell I'm so like enthusiastic and passionate about it. So.
But that's what we like to hear. If you came on and went, yeah, come if you want, like, then this is not going to come. So the fact that you're so passionate about it shows that this is going to be a success. And I think, like you mentioned, if we're looking at sort of a lot of the posts, I'm sort of scrolling through your Instagram now. I mean, just sort of...
big names.
Exactly. You've got on here about, like I said, Jason Mark workshops there. I mean, that was obviously new in comparison to the last event. Like you said, this is now powered by Soul Supplier. You've also got so many different vendors. I'm looking through the Instagram now. You've got sort of different customizers. You've got sort of clothing brands. You've got sort of retro football shirts. You've got sort of your typical sneaker vendors, shoe stacks there. Like, there's something, because that's the big thing for a lot of people, right? They come to these events and primarily they want to sort of see something with their friends, or they want to do something with their friends. It's an opportunity for a social, but you always like to come away with something. Not everyone has a couple of hundred quid to drop on a pair of shoes, but being able to walk away with some shoe stacks or a key ring or a hat or a t-shirt, or you're accommodating as many different audiences as you possibly can. And I think anyone that is listening that is sort of on the fence, definitely come along. I know I'm going to be there on the 27th, so I'll see you live in action, Joe. But it's going to be a good day. So yeah, how can people sort of get tickets or sign up or whatever they need to do if they
So if you go to our Instagram at Kicks and Coffee, so it will be in the bio. And at the moment, because the Soul Supplier is powering the event, there's also a discount code to get 25% off your ticket. So if you use at the Soul Supplier 25, tickets will be £6.79, and you get a free coffee with your ticket. Like, that's like London prices anyway, and you get
£6 ain't far off a cup of coffee, is it? So there we go. There's no excuse not to go. I mean, I know obviously we haven't even gone past the 27th of April yet. This event is just coming up, but is what's next for Kicks and Coffee after this? Like, I know you said there that you were sort of maybe scrambling a little bit to try and think about when this event was going to happen. Have you had the foresight to think about the next event or what?
It's I can see it. It's just, I think after this event, I think that will be like the real like testament of like taking a step back and then going, right, okay, what have we accomplished? What can we improve on and what can we do differently? And I think that will be just going back to the drawing board. But the answer to your question, yes, you know, I think the sky's the limit and I just want to push it. Just keep going and see what's different. What can I do? So yeah.
Well, I tell you what, we won't go into it too much now, because hey, if anyone wants to know more about the event, you're going to have to turn up and you're going to have to experience it for yourself. We just want to give everyone listening a little bit of a teaser for them to then want to sort of show up in a couple of weeks' time. And that seems like a good opportunity for us to move on to our first main segment of the episode, and that is Shoes Rounds. Every single week, we spend a little bit of time looking back at some of the biggest headlines that have hit the world of sneakers and give our thoughts and opinions. This week, it is Scott taking Shoes Rounds. So without further ado, Scott, I'll pass over to you for Shoes Rounds.
Very much. I was just looking at train lines to see if I can book some tickets to come down. news this week. We actually have something reasonably interesting. As we said, it's been a little bit quiet, a little bit slow, but there has been a very interesting interesting event going on in Paris currently, and it's been highlighting the developments of Nike, in particular Nike Air. So Nike Air units have always kind of been the same for many, many years. They haven't really changed particularly much. We've had the odd little bit here and there of like, oh, look, it's in a ball now and it's a tube as opposed to kind of, and we've had full length there, etc. But now they've actually managed to take huge leaps, and they are showing this in the new Nike Pegasus Premium that's going to be coming out, a running shoe coming out in 2025, that will have the first ever curved Air Zoom unit. The history of Air has kind of been very flat, and that's literally it. It's always been full length, little bits here, mix it with other technologies, but yeah, it's a weird one for a technology that's been around for so long.
Why change it?
But also it hasn't changed loads. It's a funny one. So in an article by Brendan Dunn on Complex, he spoke with Kathy Gomez, Nike's VP of Footwear Innovation, and she kind of said along the way that the main issues they've had when developing Air is whenever they've tried something different, they've popped, they've melted, the shape has kind of fallen off. So they've really, really struggled to actually develop the Air units. However, the Pegasus Premium, they've actually managed to do that. So unveiled in Paris this week alongside a load of other new products tied to the Olympics, including the reveal of an Air Jordan 4, which looks interesting. They looked at the Air Zoom unit and this full-length unit that is sculpted to the shoe and to the very distinct shape of the shoe. So it's 20 PSI piece, and there's kind of a lot of renders and kind of concept arts at the moment of it. But yeah, it is a full length, very squishy looking Air midsole that is, yeah, curves exactly to the foot. They've described it as a super shoe. They've done lots of things before while using carbon fiber rockers. But yeah, the main thing around this is the use of the Zoom Air and the Zoom X foam in the midsole. And they're also using React X foam underneath. So it's three layers. You've got Zoom X, then you've got the Air, and then you've got another incredibly soft padding in the React foam as well. It's all over the place, this. But yeah, it's looking to release in 2025. The article goes into to describe how the air soles have been made, and typically it's kind of all done in-house. However, with this, the air soles are kind of made, then sent onto a separate factory where it is completely molded. So it's completely separate processes between all of the different parts. It's very finicky, as she said, but it is going to make a massive difference. And it does open up the possibility of what they can do with air in the future. So Brendan Dunn said that he actually put the pair of shoes on for a few minutes in Paris and found them to be incredibly springy. And the other shoe that they're looking and they're kind of pushing, obviously the Air DN, he said completely blows it out of the water in terms of comfort. So, yeah, I mean, as I'm not a runner, you know, there's so many incredibly advanced running shoes that are out there at the moment, and it'll be intriguing to see how this looks.
I'm a runner, so I'm doing the London Marathon next week, funnily enough. So it'll be interesting. Like you say, there's so many advancements, and obviously Adidas, Nike, you know, Asics, New Balance have always got to try and keep up with each other. So it's what can we do differently? And I think I'm intrigued to know how sustainable it might be.
Definitely. It's interesting because only a few weeks ago, we actually were looking at an article that was talking about the lack of innovation from brands and how that, it's actually hindering them. But then you get something like this it looks a good shoe as well. There's a lot of these running shoes that are technically fantastic, but look horrific. Like, they're not the type of thing you'd want to walk in the street on.
Nah.
These...
Nah.
look amazing. And then just to kind of add on to it, there was another kind of post as well from Complex that looked at some of the concept shoes that were on display there, looking at different athletes and creating kind of concepts using all of these new kind of innovations with Air for different people. So there was one for Erling Haaland, kind of a football boot that was crazy looking, but kind of again use this new Air technology. There was some for Wemby, who I know is a firm favorite of some of Matt's podcast co-hosts. So yeah, the running shoes with kind of spikes and all of this, but again, it's the fact that the Air is like angular along the way and how that would impact. Certainly an interesting one, a really interesting development. And like I say, it'd be interesting to see how one sustainable it is and kind of where it could potentially take them in the future.
100%. No, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. You, again, it's like do either of you two play football or ever had?
Scott's more of a football player than I am, yeah.
Do you remember the innovation of the sock boot? And then that literally just took off. Like, I remember when they first came out, the first Magista Obra, when just before the World Cup 2014, and like got released with like Mario Götze, and I was like, oh my God, what on earth is this? And then the next, what, 4, 5, 6 years, all the kids wanting them. I remember falling into the hype. I was like, I need these. This is going to turn me into the next Ronaldo. Clearly it didn't. But like, it was just like mind boggling. So it'll be interesting to see if it has kind of the same aspect with like the runners and running hype. And then do you know what's nuts about this? As soon as a collab happens, it will go bang. Look at the DN and Supreme. Like, everyone's like, oh, I need this. Mm. What a brand will hop on that and it will probably take off.
I'm glad that they've done this with what looks like a performance shoe, first of all, because I think to the average consumer, if they'd thrown this on like a lifestyle Air Max, everyone would have gone, so? Because obviously the whole idea is that having the Air not in a flat situation can influence the way that the Air sort of helps the performance, right? Like you've said before, Scott, if Air is always in a flat sort of format, it's only ever going to sort of bounce directly upwards. Now, if you can start having Air in different angles, hopefully what you would think is that it might sort of help you with springing in maybe a certain direction or sort of propelling the force. If you're thinking about running, like obviously you're not just going to be running flat footed the entire time. And we've seen this with other, like thinking about basketball shoes, like where maybe I've, like for me, where I might notice some of this, where they might include certain pieces of rubber on certain sections of the shoe because it means you're going to be cutting or leaning, and they might have maybe on one particular shoe because the way a player jumps, it might be maybe technology in the forefront, the front of the shoe versus the back of the shoe. I think that's where maybe we can really start to influence this, where if we're angling Air in a particular way, I think for the average person, if you'd gone, oh my God, this is the first time we've managed to actually curve an air bubble, everyone would have gone, who gives a shit? Like, I like the fact that they've gone down the performance route of this. And you're absolutely right, Joe. Once the performance side has been influenced, then we can start thinking about a lifestyle shoe. Like this, like you said, if you can have a sort of a collab on this Pegasus shoe that they're talking about, it's a really nice looking shoe. Like, it really is. So I think if you were to put a cool collab on it, maybe not straight away, but maybe sort of give it a year to breathe and sort of let everyone like sort of understand what the shoe's designed for, maybe transfer it over to the lifestyle side, have a collab on it, and it might be successful. But I do like that they're thinking about performance, and running is such a big thing right now. Like, Scott, we've sort of a good friend of the podcast and previous hosts or previous guests, Bradley Martinez from Foot Patrol, right? Like, he's been documenting on Instagram some of his training for running for the ultra marathon, and part of his incredible first video was like every other 20 to 30 year old that is trying to stay relevant, they've started running. And like, it has become a thing. It's become like this huge thing where everyone is running nowadays. Like, I hate cardio, so for me it sounds like absolute hell, but I totally understand how amazing it is for me. My stepdad's become an avid runner in the last couple of years, and honestly, it's completely changed his life. He's now out with running clubs and got loads more friends, and the social aspect is amazing. So I'm glad they've started to pour into that side of things, because people want tech nowadays. If you look back a couple of years ago and tried to introduce this, I know we've been in previous episodes, Scott, talking about that news story where Nike haven't been innovating. I think actually if they had introduced this 3 or 4 years ago, it wouldn't really be that influential. Now, when everyone and their dog wants to run, bringing something cool and something new, something familiar, something familiar like an air bubble. Like people, casuals know air, casuals know Nike Air. Mm. If you can make something a bit more performancey, I think that will really be good. The only thing that worries me, Scott, in what you said was you started talking about different processes and finicky. And whenever I hear different processes and finicky in shoes, that normally means expensive. So that's the only thing. It's all well and good saying that this might be really good technology, but for the average runner that might want this as a little bit of an edge, are you going to be looking at £250 for a running shoe? And are people going to want to spend that money?
Easy on this.
There is that.
You can just tell.
Yeah. God, I mean, in terms of price, like it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because when you look at the proper like running shoes, like the performance high end, the ones that are like proper serious, those shoes are expensive. Like they are spending. Yeah. But there's so much technology and bits in the with this. Obviously, there is a lot of technology, but also this shoe doesn't look like many of the, I mean, if you think of the ones like the massive kind of heels and midsoles and everything,
the band shoe, right?
Yeah. So it looks very different. So I do wonder to what level like it is, but I do agree that they had to go with performance first. And looking at the concepts of the other shoes, I was thinking to myself, I was like, do you really need Boost in a football shoe? Like, I mean, do you need it? I don't know, because they're trying to get lighter and more mobile. Is it the type of thing? Basketball shoes, 100%. But
yeah, it's just the what if factor. Like, you know, it's like, they're probably thinking, oh, if we don't do it, Adidas will do it. And then we'll shoot ourselves in the foot. So it's like, oh. And they got money to pull away. So they're like, all right, yeah, let's do it. Why not? Let's see what happens, you know. But yeah, like said, they're expensive.
But like I said, basketball, 100%. The amount you move and cut and stuff, and like I say, that extra little bit of bounce, I completely get it. And I mean, you think of like where Air and stuff came from. Obviously, Air Jordan. Air Max was a running shoe, as much as it probably doesn't feel like it now, but you know, all of these were performance that have kind of translated over. And yeah, from a lifestyle point of view, like it might add an interesting aesthetic to something, but it's not going to make a massive difference, is it? If it's,
it might,
you know,
mean that your feet don't hurt as much when you do your 20,000 steps on a trip to London. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's really going to be the only difference. But like I said, I think the big thing is I'm happy that Nike have started to do this in a very convenient time when they have been sort of slandered a little bit for relying too much on retros, relying too much on nostalgia and not having enough focus on innovation. This is sort of like a little bit of a middle finger up to the people that have been breaking those news stories of, we have had this cooking for a long time and actually this is hopefully going to completely change everything. But we shall see. Like I said, price is going to be a big thing. Availability is going to be a big thing. Endorsements are going to be a big thing. But I think this is only going to be a positive that these brands that we've been accusing of resting on their laurels a little bit actually aren't. And this is something new and exciting that we're sat here on a Friday evening on a podcast talking about. So that's going to be one thing.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, and I agree. Like I said, everyone is running these days. It's an oddly good time for it. There's a reel that I saw the other day and it's like someone turning 30 on their birthday and he goes, I wonder what I'm going to do with my life, and this inner voice is just like, do a marathon. Do a marathon, that sounds like a great idea, why not? Like, is that what happened to you, Joe? Just out of nowhere just went, you know what,
Joe's definitely not 30. You look too young to be 30, Joe.
22 and it's happened at minute 22. Midlife crisis.
Quarter-life crisis.
Yeah, quarter. Oh my God. But yeah, do you know what? I think just kind of an idea that's come to my head. It depends how they market this. I think if they market quite smartly, like, you know, technically like the DN, how they've done that, the in-person events, and like Nike done one, N Cloven done one. It'll be interesting. But again, like you say, it's towards runners. So how do they market it? So it'll be interesting to see, I think, how much they push it.
I think you chuck this early onto a marathon runner. If they get a good time, everyone and their dog's going to want a pair of these. So, I mean, it's the same with the shoe that obviously Scott was referencing. I always forget what it's called, but the green shoe that had the huge sole and ended up getting banned from the marathon because it ended up helping someone break the record, didn't it? Something like that, where someone very high in the running world gets a really good time at a really important race, all of a sudden everyone's going to want this. So I think that's probably the way forward, and I'm sure Nike, being the experts in marketing that they are, they already know probably what they're going to do, and it's probably going to be a stroke of genius.
And they'll come up with something ridiculous. Yeah.
100%, 100%. And on that, that's the news. So, I'll pass over to Matt for our second segment of the podcast, Double Up, Double Down, where we look at the upcoming releases for the next week. Pick a double up, something he likes, a double down, something he dislikes, and a sleeper pick, something he thinks he might get a little bit lost amongst the hype. So on that, I'll pass over to Matt for Double Up, Double Down.
Thank you very much, Scotty boy. And moving away from Nike and new technology, we are going to move on to something new, but not from Nike. Another brand beginning with N, and we are talking New Balance here. The shoe for the double up this week is the Joe Freshgoods times New Balance 1000 in the black ice colorway. This shoe, as per the sole supplier, is releasing on the 19th of April for £160. Scott, you know I like a style code. This is going to be M1000JF1 for all of you New Balance heads that want to sort of Google the style code. I'm sure you've probably seen this shoe floating around online already. This particular shoe, best way to sort of describe it, it kind of looks like the sort of Skepta Air Max had a baby with a New Balance, and that's sort of what it looks like, because it's a combination of sort of almost iridescent-y panels towards the sort of with the overlays of the shoe. It's a combination of sort of like blacks and browns and that sort of typical shoe that we saw on the Tuned Max, which is obviously where the Skepta 97 got its inspiration from, right? Really, really nice shoe. This is clearly the next model that New Balance are going to be pushing. Scott, we always talk on this show about how New Balance, as soon as a trend starts dipping, they've got the next shiny thing to distract you with. And this time around, it's the year of 2024 is clearly 991 V2s and now the New Balance 1000, because very early on we saw these Joe Freshgood pairs. They always like to introduce a new silhouette with a big collab. We've also seen rumors of ALD collabs coming up, but this is one of two shoes for Joe Freshgoods. I think a week later, there's a pink pair that's also releasing that I really like the look of. And it's also quite on trend that it is sort of a little bit of a chunkier shoe, which a lot of people are appreciating these days, but also where the shoe has sort of big mesh underlays towards the toe of the shoe and towards the side panels, really sort of feeding into that mesh runner trend that everyone seems to be going crazy about at the minute. But Joe, we'll start with you, mate. What do you think about this shoe? You're a fan, not a fan? Where'd you stand?
Honestly, when you sent this to me over, I was like, my first thought was, oh, I don't know about that. I'm looking at it now. It's kind of a love-hate relationship. Like you just touched on, you kind of get the Skepta vibe. I see it. I'm kind of getting a Cortez kind of vibe from the top perspective. But overshot, like just the toe box kind of area and like how bulky it looks. It's just the first thought that took me back to was the 95s.
So the lace, it's the lace, like you've got that typical like rope 95 lace, and the sort of eyelets are that sort of like not a traditional eyelet where you'd maybe see on a 95. And now you've just said that, look, I've not really paid much attention to the top down, but I don't know about you guys, but that's sort of like, this is really being picky, but right by the front of the toe, it's got that sort of like U shape. And that almost kind of looks like the top down of like a Yeezy 700. So it has got, it's got like, now you've sort of mentioned that, Joe, it's got sort of almost like little nods to a lot of different shoes that we're sort of familiar with. 100%. So yes, it's an interesting new one from New Balance. I don't think this is a new shoe. I might be wrong. I'm going to be honest. I don't know much about the 1000. I think looking on the Soul Supply website, it's a re-release, and originally it was introduced in 1998. So very similar to how New Balance like to do it. They always like to sort of go back in the archives and bring back something that we haven't seen in a long time. So it's an interesting one. But you said that you're not too sure. Are you still not too sure? Or
I don't hate it, but I don't love it. Again, that's fine. The influence now probably is I'll see it on TikTok and go, oh, God, here we go.
The next Get Ready With Me.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the colorway for me. I was never a fan of the Skeptas when they first came out. I don't know. I'm on the fence.
I think you're absolutely right. Bit more time on this. Let it breathe a little bit as a silhouette. A couple of the extra colorways, I think you might be turning around. There's an ALD pair that are supposed to be rumored to come out that are cream with like a pink stripe around the bottom. And I really like those. So, you know, a different colorway might sway you a little bit. Scotty boy, what do you think about these?
I must admit, I hadn't looked at the top down, but it does almost look like someone's mashed up a 95 and a Yeezy Wave Runner from that top down look. Like, yeah, it's a weird one. I'm not sold on this colorway. Definitely not.
Like, I've picked a double up that I'm the only one that likes it. Hey, that's pretty standard for me, to be fair.
Yeah. The pink one, I keep looking at it and going, that looks really nice. But it's one of those where the colorway's nice, but I don't know about the model. I feel like I'm swayed by the colorway. And then because all of the pictures are always the pink one with this one, so I just kind of glance up a little bit, look at this one and go, no. It's definitely just the pink that is that's swaying me. Because this, I don't mind the Skeptors. There's something about this shoe that just looks a bit rubbish.
Hey, I can see this silhouette making a sort of a big splash for New Balance this year. I think this is very on trend. Like I said, everyone wants the sort of a little bit bigger, bulkier runner shoe, a little bit of mesh in there. I can see, like you mentioned before, Joe, like I can see the guys that really like the Cortez and things like this rocking this, but I can also see the guys that are really into the 1906 and the 860s also rocking this because it's a bit meshy. So I think this does sort of like bridge the gap a little bit between the two crowds. But hey, it's fine. You guys don't have to like it. Let's see about the next
shoe. Better.
That's fine. Wait, it's not releasing this week, Scott, so I couldn't pick the pink one, could I? It's going across two.
They're releasing different times.
They're releasing at different times. Yes, that's why I didn't pick the pink one. Wow, you changed your tune before you were like, oh, I'm not too sure about it. Now this one's shit. Jesus Christ. Anyways, right, let's move on to a shoe that I'm not entirely impressed with. Hey, you never know. If this is clearly, we're not on the same wavelength today, you guys might love this one. The double down for the week is the Nocta times Nike Hot Step 2 in the total orange. There's no other way to describe this shoe other than it is totally orange, because this shoe is totally orange with a little bit of silver on there. The Hot Step 2 is the sort of next iteration for Nocta and Nike. Looks sort of similar to the previous one, but looks a little bit more sporty in my opinion. But it's very difficult to describe this shoe other than it's just really fucking orange. And I'm not a huge fan of the Nocta silhouettes anyways. I know some people absolutely love it. It's not really for me. And as much as I love orange on a shoe, I do like it to be separated with a little bit other than just shiny silver plates. So the shoe itself is releasing on the 17th of April for £185. I started with Joe before. Scott, what do you think about this shoe?
My eyes are still burning from this. It is... oh, it's bright, isn't it? Like, it is.
You wouldn't get lost in the dark wearing these, would you?
You see you from
space. Oh no. Yeah, it is. It's a lot. I'm also, there's a couple of things that I'm slightly bemused by. One, I mean it's £185. Like, fucking hell. And then also, I don't know why Nike on sneakers have put the whole description in capitals.
I'm so happy you said this.
Shouting at me. Like, I knew an updated version of the signature Hot Step leather rubber. Like, fucking hell. Calm down. It's not even that good a description. It's just, it says it's got a unique eye stay. Like, fuck. Not to mention, this is probably the first shoe I think we've ever spoken about that I prefer the insole of the shoe to the shoe itself.
Well, because it's not orange.
Because it's actually a really nice shade of blue with kind of the logo and everything.
No, it is blue. Sorry, do apologize. Sorry, I was about to call you on your color blindness. I only saw the top down on the shoe and I saw the silver bit, and I was like, that's definitely not blue. I've scrolled down, I've seen the blue. Yeah, that's my fault.
This level of orange and blue, I can definitely tell apart. Don't worry.
No, because the bottom of the insole just has the silver knocked a bit, right? So I was looking at the top down from the shoe and just saw the silver, and I was like, that's not blue, that's silver. But no, I apologize. I scrolled down.
I like, to be fair, the model itself, I don't think is terrible. I think, like, especially at the moment with the style and everyone wearing like the track suits and so on, I think it fits in really nicely, but this is way too much. Like, they need a nice, if they put a nice colorway on this, yeah, fair enough. But this is, yeah, it's bright.
But they did this with the last Nocta, didn't they? They had sort of like bright red ones, and then they also had the black ones. And I think I've already seen pictures online of upcoming pairs for these that are sort of like all black and things like this. So they will have more muted colorways. Joe, what do you think about this?
Not going to lie, I actually quite like them. And I'll tell you why. I brought them just for this reason. These are bright orange, the Lobsters, and I love them. Okay. And I don't know, when that came through, I was like, because I messaged Scott, and I was like, screw this. I quite like it because, yes, you'll be able to see me from miles. Yes, it's kind of like, it's very out there. I disagree with the price point. I think that's extortionate. But I kind of like them.
Hey,
I'm not going to lie.
You're allowed.
I think with the London ethos, and, you know, I feel like a lot of people end up wearing these with like a baggy tracksuit, like big cargo.
Yeah, definitely.
Parachute. And I think it's, again, it kind of goes back to our earlier discussion about if you dress from your feet or your clothes. And I think, in this instance, it will be from your feet. And I think if you've got the confidence to wear them, do it 100%. You know, and I think that's the attitude I have with the Lobsters. I was like, yes, they're bright orange. Yes, you'll probably get taken the piss out of. But if you're confident with anything in what you wear, then why not? So I like them.
We say this a lot, don't we, Scott? You and I say this a lot, where, like, we'll say that something's too leery and too bright for us, but we always have the caveat of, like, we'll see someone walking down Shoreditch wearing this pair and be like, oh, you kind of look good in this. Yeah. 100%. There are weird and wonderful shoes. Everywhere, there's always someone that can make a shoe look good. But yeah, this is a little bit, like you said, this isn't one where you put on a t-shirt and jeans and go, oh, what's missing from my outfit? A bright orange shoe. This is one that you need the intention to wear, and you build the outfit up. Yeah.
I was just saying, like, 100% agree with that. And I mean, I've got some Larry shoes. I mean, I've got the J-Tip Saucony, which is, I mean, is a mental shoe, the Grid Azura. But the one thing with this, because I love the Lobsters, I think, and even the orange ones, like, I think they're really nice, but they're suede. And it's like, it's almost like a slightly, like this being synthetic leather, like it, the images, like, it makes it look quite shiny, and that it's just, I think, like I say, if they put this in like suede, I think it would be much more muted. The Lobsters, plus it's got a nice little bit of black that's breaking it up, which is a bit, and like I said, the laces, etc., like the white and that. This is the thing. I think if they did exactly what they've done there, put a white tongue on it, even just kind of add some other colours to the midsole and use some different materials, I think it would make a massive difference. But there are just some colours that just don't work in certain materials. They just look a bit garish.
Well, we'll have to see as this shoe sort of releases. We'll let it sit. Very similar to the 1000. This is a new silhouette. Let's sit. Let some other colourways come out, and then we might change our mind sort of in the future. Yeah. But Scott, I'd be a little bit remiss not to talk about the sleeper pick this week, because literally last week, Scott, you said this is one you've been seeing on your Instagram and you've been absolutely loving. And we did apologize last week. Really sorry, listeners. You're going to have to get used to it. We're talking about 991s again. because the sleeper pick for the week is the New Balance 991 V2 in the Nimbus Clouds and Cool Grey /Silver colorway. Scott, this is the one that you referenced last week, that you said this is a shoe that you think is one of the best releases of the year so far. Style code for all the New Balance heads, U991LG2. Best way to describe this shoe, it is a premium looking 991 V2, mostly sort of white overlays in sort of a suede nubuck material, typical to New Balance, across the toe box, up towards the side, etc., towards the heel of the shoe. You've got sort of a white /grey sort of midsole and outsole. But what makes this shoe pop is the really dark grey mesh across the toe and up towards the tongue of the shoe. It's currently scheduled to release on the 18th of April for £220. A little bit pricey, but of course it's the usual made in UK price tag that we're used to now. But yeah, very, very clean shoe. Joe, what do you think about this one?
I think it's a great sleeper. I love the colorway, and I think it's kind of like that ashy gray, and it's very, it's not like you say, it's not garish like the Noctis are. I agree with Scott. I think they're I wouldn't say shoe of the year, but it's a good
one
contender.
Of the better, yeah.
Yeah, one of the better ones that you can definitely mention, especially early on in the year. Like, oh, what about this? But I love it. Is it when you sent it through to me? I was like, oh, that's the first time I saw them today. And I was like, do you know what? Yeah, I think just the one steep thing is the price, 220.
Yeah.
But I think that's just common now.
So. Yeah, especially for these types of new balances, it's just that's retail price, unfortunately. Scott, I don't think we really need to hear your opinion on this shoe, but give us a little bit of a quick roundup of what your thoughts are.
It's beautiful. It's very simple, but yeah, I've seen a lot of reviews of these online because they did release in Europe, and a lot of kind of the typical YouTubers and content creators, etc., got a pair and obviously done it. Apparently the quality on them's incredible. The 991 V2 is, it just seems to be that model that people are going mad for. I agree the price is a lot, but the problem is when you compare it to like a Jordan 4 that's like super uncomfortable and the quality control's awful, they're going for like 200 these days. Like it's the comparison is it, Nike are kind of making it easier for other brands to, because their prices are so steep and people are willing to pay it, that you look at these and go, eh, whatever. I'll say though, the first time I saw this shoe was from Lorenzo, which is where I actually met you, Joe. Lorenzo posted a picture up on his story and said, and literally just went, I need these. Now, obviously, I can see him doing lots of stuff with this silhouette and obviously the kind of platform that it gives in terms of materials and color, etc. But I just remember seeing it and going, what is that shoe? Like, is that a collab? What is it? Because I know Lorenzo's tastes are quite niche sometimes in terms of some of the shoes that he picks up. We've had to go, oh, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
But I saw it and then, yeah, all of a sudden it's appeared. It's going to be a battle for my cash, I think, at this point, because there's the Awake collab that will have released at time. Right. That's there's a lot of very good, very reasonably accessible pairs coming up. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorites. And like I said, it's a GR. It's great.
Can't complain.
Scotty boy, this is obviously a little bit of an expensive shoe, but do we have a Steal of the Week this week?
Steal of the Week. Yes, we do. So Steal of the Week this week, it comes in at a much, much cheaper price. But in terms of quality, it's probably going to be at a similar level, because the Steal of the Week this week is the New Balance 996 Made in USA in the lovely, lovely pink pair. Reduced on size from £190 down to £90. You are getting a shoe that is of similar quality to what we've just spoken about for under £100. There is currently a size run from 7 up, well, up to whatever you want, to be honest. They're literally just sat there. So, yeah, take your pick. Absolute steal. And as we were saying a bit earlier, if you've got any kind of student codes and everything in size, they normally work on top. So you can get them even a little bit cheaper. But, yeah, absolute bargain and a beautiful, beautiful shoe.
Joe, you've almost made it out alive, mate. That's double up, double down, over, and brings us on to our final segment of the podcast. It's been a little while for listeners since they've been able to sort of listen to this one. But of course, we have a guest. So it's time for Scott versus our guest, the rotation game. Right, guys. So we always like to end with a little bit of a game. Usually it's Scott blind ranking shoes on his own, but we have a guest, so therefore I like to be the master, the game master, and I like to put Scott in a situation where he can hopefully lose a game. Because it's been a little while, I will explain to the listeners exactly what this segment is all about. So we have Scott versus our guest, the rotation game. The way it's going to work is, in a moment, Joe and Scott are essentially going to go through a little bit of a draft to create a 5-day rotation. There is going to be a theme in which they have to pick from. from. So the idea here is that Joe is going to pick a shoe first of all, then Scott, then Joe, then Scott, back and forth until both of them have a 5-day rotation. The only real rule of the game, or the only real rules of the game, is the shoes have to fit the theme. And also, once one person has picked the shoe, the other person cannot pick it. It is then out of bounds, essentially. And what we'll then do is put it up on our Instagram during the week this week for you guys as the listeners to vote on what you think is the best rotation. Now, we always like to try and link the theme back to our guests. So naturally, we thought, coffee. But coffee is basically just everything mocha. So we decided, what's the next best thing? We would just go brown shoes. So yes, a very vague theme for this week. But this week's rotation game is just brown sneakers, trainers, shoes, whatever you want to call them. Joe, are you ready to play the rotation game, mate?
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to shoot.
Ready to shoot. Scott, are you ready?
I'm ready.
As always, he's always there to play a game. All right. Well, Joe, in that case, it's going to be up to you first. You have the pick of every single brown shoe ever made, ever. What is going to be your first shoe for your rotation?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I think I'm just going to go with a heavy one. It will have to be my fan favorite, my OG one that I hit retail, be the Travis OG High.
Travis times Jordan 1 High, the original. Good shoe. Good shoe. Yeah. I should have said this before, Joe, in case you weren't already aware. This does not obviously have to be shoes that you own. I know you said that that was a shoe that you do own. But yeah, these can be any shoes whatsoever. But nonetheless, I think that's a very wise shoe to be picking first. Yeah. Scotty boy, what's your rebuttal? Mm. What is your number one, mate?
Well, that was on my list. That was off my list. It was, there's lots. I'm gonna try and stick to coffee, etc., as much as possible. So I will pick a Travis, but I'll pick the reverse mocha.
Okay, nice. No surprise. No surprise here that we've got two Jordan 1 Travises in a brown shoe round. So okay, so we've got the original highs from Joe. Scott, you're having the reverse mockers as your first pick. Joe, over
back to
you.
Me.
Yeah, second shoe in the rotation.
It will have to probably be, I'm gonna go with the Dunk Low Cacao women's.
Ooh, okay.
I think that's a very, especially Dunk nowadays, it's very easy to get your hold of as well. And I think a brown colorway for what, £110? Can't really go wrong.
I like that. So, okay. So we've got obviously a Jordan 1 High, a Dunk Low, covering all bases here.
Yeah.
Scott, what are we going with? What are you going with for your second pick in your rotation?
I am going to go for a pair that I do actually own, and I'm going to pick the Saucony Shadow 6000 in the cappuccino colorway.
Oh, okay. A coffee shoe that's not a mocha.
Yeah, that's good to say. Got to cover all bases.
To be fair, I saw that when I went to Norwich this week to visit Mark, and they had one of the local skate shops had a bunch of Saucony in, and that cappuccino pair. The quality is incredible, and it was sat there for 80 quid. Mm. I had to really sort of stop myself from being like, 80 quid's quite a good price for a shoe like this. So, it's a very, very nice shoe.
Mm.
Joe, mate, what are we going with for number three?
For number three, I'm going to go with the Nike SB Dunk Low Wheat.
Oh, so, okay.
Slightly different, but it's going with that brown kind of theme, but it's kind of an underrated one. So I'm going to throw that in the mix.
Hey, the you can't go wrong with a wheat colorway. If we're going brown, 100%, that's definitely, we're getting Timberland vibes here, aren't we? So love that. Scotty boy, number three for you.
Oh, number three. Let's go with just a nice, easy one. We're going to go for the Nike Air Force One Low coffee.
So you really are trying to stick with the coffee theme here. Okay.
Yeah, I am.
And also a little bit of variety there as well. You've got, like I said, the Jordans, you've got the Saucony, you've got the Air Force. Okay, I like it. Joe, let's keep this ball rolling.
Yeah, I'm going to step away from Nike for a minute. So I'm going to go with that Adidas Bad Bunny Campus Chalky Brown colorway.
Oh, okay, we're going with the Campus. Okay.
Ooh.
I like that.
Something slightly different. I quite like the silhouette, and I think what Bad Bunny's doing
Great
is
shoe.
Uh, different, and it's, you know, it's, it fits that theme of the mocha slash brown colorway. So I'm going to go with that one.
I love it. To be fair, as soon as you said Adidas Bad Bunny, I thought you were literally going to go with the Forum, the original Forum that he dropped, that was a coffee related shoe. So
yeah.
I do like the Campus a little bit more wearable, not as bulky, not as many straps. So I like what he's done with the Campus a lot. Scott, number four for you, mate.
Number four, I'm also going Adidas.
Oh,
I'm going with the Adidas ZX5000 Deadstock Coffee.
Oh, okay, I like that one.
That was super a good limited. Shoe. It even came in like a big coffee, like burlap sack as well when it released.
Yeah, it was cool with obviously Deadstock Coffee as a brand, wasn't it? You could only buy it from their store. I don't know where they're located, but you could literally only buy it from their store. So super, super limited shoe. Obviously went under the radar a little bit unless you're an Adidas fan, but nonetheless, yeah, definitely a good choice. Joe, final shoe, make it count, mate. What are you picking to round up your 5-day rotation?
Round up my 5-day rotation, I'm going to go with New Balance Aim Leon Dior 550, the true brown colorway.
I tell you what, can't go wrong there. So ALD New Balance 550 in the true brown colorway. Scott, same for yourself, mate. Last shoe, make it count. What are you going with?
Oh, hard. Yeah, what do I pick? I think I'm going to go with the Bad Bunny, the Dunk.
Bad Bunny's Dunk?
Not Dunk, Forum, sorry.
I was going to say, I was like, shit, when did Bad Bunny do a Dunk?
I'll go with the first Forum, the Bad Bunny. The brown pair. It was a coffee inspired.
I was going to say, isn't it? It's called like the last coffee or something like that, isn't it? Like when you actually sort of like translate what it's called, I'm pretty sure it's something like last coffee. I don't even know if he needs to translate it, to be fair. But I know it's definitely something to do with his favorite coffee shop, wasn't it? So I can say, Scott, actually, after me saying that everything has to be mocha, I mean, you have sort of, I mean,
very well.
we've got a reverse mocha, a cappuccino, a coffee, and another coffee. So I suppose, hey, you've managed to do it. Well, let me just quickly run back through your 5-day rotations. Joe, you have gone with the Travis Scott times Air Jordan 1 High, the original brown. You've then gone with the Nike Dunk Low Cacao colorway, the Nike SB Dunk Low Wheat, the Bad Bunny times Adidas Campus in the brown colorway, and the ALD times New Balance 550 brown as well. Scott, you have gone with the Travis Scott times Jordan 1 Low Reverse Mocha, the Shadow 6000 Cappuccino, the Nike Air Force 1 Coffee, the Deadstock Coffee times Adidas ZX5000, and the Bad Bunny times Adidas Forum in that original brown colorway.
Yeah, the first cafe is what it was
first
called.
First cafe, before. That's what it is, not the last coffee. Something about time and coffee. It worked. The first cafe, there we go. So, hey, the one thing I will say, guys, is... could have had a bit of variety of color in your 5-day rotation, but no, two very, very good rotations. It'll be up on our Instagram during the week for you guys, the listeners, to decide on which rotation you think is best. Normally I don't like to pick favorites, but I always like to pick against Scott. So Joe, you're going to be getting my vote, mate. With that, Joe, you've pretty much made it to the end of the episode, mate. There is one more thing, though, that we have to do. And I think you're the first guest that's been able to experience this, because it's a fairly new thing for us in the grand scheme of things. And Scott, do you have a dad joke to round out the episode with?
Here we go.
just a bit of context. I'm expecting my first child later this year. So it's I was given a book full of dad jokes, and these dad jokes have been getting progressively worse. I'm glad I know sign language. It's coming pretty handy.
Oh God!
Oh, God's sake.
God. Oh, worse.
That was a bad one, Scott. That was as far as these have gone. Yeah. There's some weeks where, you know what, I thought you'd been on top sort of form, but that one. Was a bad one.
Scraping the barrel, that one.
Yeah. That was page 150 out of 150 or something like that. But hey, We've got plenty to come, guys. Listeners, we've got plenty more of this to come. And it's only going to get worse. This is Scott in the pre-dad phase. Imagine when he's full dad. Like, then they're going to be absolutely atrocious.
Taken my full form, yeah.
My final evolution as full Scott dad. Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us on the episode today. I'm just going to quickly round out the episode and say thank you for listening to the Doubled Up Podcast. Remember, if you like this episode, leave us a 5-star rating and review and share the podcast with your friends and family. Make sure you follow at Doubled Up Podcast on Instagram and use hashtag Doubled Up Pod to be featured on the Instagram page. You can find me, Matt, at Matt_Sibley_ on Instagram. Scott, tell the listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at _SneakerTeacher.
And Joe, tell the listeners where they can find you.
Yeah, at Kicks and Coffees on Instagram.
And remember, guys, make sure you sign up to come to the event on Saturday, the 27th of April. We'll be there. Come and say hi. And yeah, until next time, guys, goodbye. And as always, peace for Noosa.
See you later.
See ya.